Joining us right now, the Chronicle's A's beat writer since 1999, Major League Baseball Network correspondent, and a fan of Chopped Canada. It's one of the many reasons I love and respect this person. It is Susan Slusser. Susan, it's Dave and Katie. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Well, I was just, I was reading your Twitter, and you, like me, we both watch Chopped. I've not seen Chopped Canada, but I do love the quote, my bison liver was as hard as a rock. That's just not something you hear too often.
Okay, I actually...
I was flipping around. Yeah, that's the first thing they said.
I thought when he read Chopped Canada, I was like, is this like a chopped salad that I don't know about? Is this like a Canadian salad that I'm unaware of?
It's a great show!
I haven't seen it.
So good.
Susan, I know he's no longer an A, but I know you're very familiar with Dennis Eckersley. And one of the things, before we get to Billy Beane and the rest of the A's, I know it's a tough spot for you, but wanted to see if you could shed some light on the personality of Dennis Eckersley, who just to remind our listeners, report came out about a month ago, got into it with David Price, or really the other way around, both boarding and on the team plane, stemming from Dennis saying yuck at looking at stats from a player that was rehabbing, and David Price took exception to that. The word being that Eck is a guy who is very straightforward, who is very blunt. That's how he operates. Would you say that was accurate about him?
Yeah, and I mean, isn't that what fans usually want from their broadcasters, especially analysts, which is what Dennis is. And the thing I have to say about Dennis Eckersley, obviously we don't hear him much as a broadcaster except for when he's doing his TBS work, but as a player, he was known as the most stand-up guy ever. When he gave up the Gibson home run, I mean, it's absolutely legendary in sports writers' circles. He stood there for 45 minutes and answered the same questions over and over gracefully after the worst moment of his entire life. And he didn't turn anybody down. He didn't snap at anybody. He just stood there and just kept answering question after question. So talk about a guy that can, take the heat. It's Dennis Eckersley. So I think anybody that criticizes him is a little bit misinformed about who and what he is.
Well, and Susan, my past experience, like, I just look at it, I try to, empathize with players when it comes to criticism, because I think they hear, it's not like there's more of it now than ever before, but they hear more of it now because of the internet and social media. But really, aren't these guys kind of wired to be able to take that and use it as motivation? Those things, like, do you really have sympathy for a player that has an issue with a broadcaster, an analyst, and especially a former player that comes out and says something as simple as yuck when he's talking about stats? I mean, is that just kind of the narrative now that athletes are becoming maybe a little bit oversensitive?
Well, some of them are. I mean, the vast majority understand, when they have a bad performance, they know it. Usually they're often the hardest on themselves. So, I think this is an instance of maybe somebody trying to stick up for a teammate, but I really don't think it was necessary. It sounds like, it sounds like a fairly legitimate comment. It was a terrible line. It's probably making way too much of it. And to confront a guy on a team plane with all your teammates around you, if you really have a problem with it, go to somebody one-on-one and say, hey, I heard that. I didn't think that was a great thing to say, the guy's rehabbing, something like that. But to kind of pile on with all your teammates right there, that's really almost menacing. I don't like that at all.
Susan Slusser with us. Susan, we talked about Billy Beane's comments about a week ago on, after making a trade for really one of the first times, saying, hey, listen, we're going to try to do a rebuild. And we haven't really done a full rebuild before, with the idea of opening up a new stadium and being competitive when that new stadium opens. As Kings fans, we understand that process, having just opened the Golden One Center and still trying to be competitive. But when you look at Billy, we had a lot of back and forth, Susan, about, has he mentioned stuff like this before? Was he sending a message to ownership? Does he truly believe a new stadium's coming? Is this different than some of the stops and starts there's been in the past? No one's closer to the situation than you. How did you take his comments?
Well, the rebuild stuff itself wasn't necessarily new. There have been obviously kind of cycles over the years where they've gone much younger and where they've emphasized the farm system more at times. There have been times, obviously, where they've used the farm system to trade for more veteran pieces. But the thing that was new was the idea that they want to start signing some of their major pieces long term, which we haven't seen really since the early 2000s, at least not on any sort of you know, major scale. And that was the implication. We're going to start keeping these guys. And of course, that's been the biggest issue for A's fans here the past, essentially this most recent run after the most recent playoff teams is all those guys are gone now. Sonny Gray's the only one that's left, really. Jed Lowry was gone and came back, but really it's just Sonny. So fans like to see somebody that they can root for more than 3 or 4 years. And I think that was what we have not heard before, certainly for a long time.
Another guy that was a fan favorite in Oakland, Yoenis Cespedes. You had the chance to chat with him when you were in New York covering the Mets and the A's game, and you broke the story that he said he wants to play for the A's or retire as an Oakland A. Did he say that kind of tongue-in-cheek with a smile, or did you genuinely feel like he meant it, he wants to return to the A's at some point before the end of his career?
Oh, he 100% wants to return to the A's before the end of his career. I mean, he absolutely was. Couldn't be more genuine about it. He's actually, I've run into players since then who say he's told them the same thing. Josh Donaldson told me yesterday. Yeah. He's like, why did everybody make such a big deal out of that? Like, he says that to people. I mean, that's just he wants to finish his career in Oakland. No big deal. Jason Giambi, when he went to the Yankees, every year when the Oakland reporters would go in and check in with him when he was at the Yankees, would go like, man, I want to go back there and finish my career there. And nobody said a word about it. It was not a big deal. So I think that some of this was a factor of the Mets' kind of disappointing season. And Cespedes has a big contract and maybe hasn't quite lived up to some of the expectations for it. But there was zero wrong with what he said. And then, you know, he also mentioned how much he loves Bob Melvin. People kind of took that to mean it was a shot at Terry Collins. It absolutely was not. I mean, you could love your first manager, still have all the love and respect in the world for your current manager. So it was a mountain out of a molehill. I was absolutely astonished at the reaction, particularly from the New York media, because everything he said was crystal clear, and nothing at all was a shot at the Mets.
Susan, do you have an update on the Sonny Gray potential trade situation?
I mean, there are numerous teams interested. We see scouts from 5, 6, 7 teams every single start. I'm sure we will again tonight. So I couldn't even handicap it. He's the best starting pitcher currently available on the trade market, and almost every contender needs starting pitching.
Last thing for you, Susan, from the text line. It's a good question. What is the A's clubhouse like now? Someone wants to know. We've always been known as a fun and loose clubhouse, but we've lost, and I love the fan use of we. I appreciate that. We've lost Crisp, Doolittle, and Vogt. Within the last year, they were known as the, quote, DJs at the clubhouse. How is it with the new guys?
Well, it's such a young clubhouse. It's every bit as loose and fun as ever because it is so young, I think. But, in many ways, this is probably this year in particular is better than the last 2 years. There were some divisive elements in the clubhouse the previous 2 years, which I think everybody's a little familiar with. So, it's a perfectly nice, very young, kind of fun bunch.
Susan, we always appreciate your time, honestly, and hope to talk to you throughout the end of the season. And hopefully they do start getting some stuff done with the stadium, because we were just talking about the Raider fans and how they've been long-suffering. A's fans certainly deserve a new stadium. We appreciate and respect all the work you do. Thank you so much.